Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 344, 1 through 4. I to the hills will lift my eyes. O, whence shall come my aid? My help is from the Lord alone, who heaven and earth has made. 1 through 4 of 344.
Thank you.
scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the book of Exodus, the 14th chapter, the first 20 verses. Exodus 14, verses 1 through 20. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Exodus chapter 14. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, and that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, "Why have you done this? And that we have let Israel go from serving us?" And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt, and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them in camping by the sea, beside Pihahiroth, before Baal-zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." And Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians, whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again, no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know, and that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen." And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, eternal, and all-knowing God, thou who providest again that we each one may wake in this morning of this thy holy day in safety, health, and strength, sufficient that we may be enabled to come up unto thy house of prayer. Thou knowest also what lays in our hearts. By nature we take these blessings for granted, and we still turn our backs to thee. And so we do work out our own destruction, so that so righteously thou couldest pass us by and turn away from our supplication. But, Lord, everything that must come from thee, and when thou wilt make a change in us, then we shall be changed, and then our hearts shall be drawn to thee, and then we shall despise this world. Oh, that thou may work then in us and in our dear children, in this day that thou still sparest us in, with our loved ones, that we may be enabled to come round about, and thy everlasting word and testimony. Oh, that thou may look upon each one of us in the need of our souls, for eternity that is so very, very great. And we have no impression thereof by nature, but we do call our lands after our own names, and our expectation that is to dwell here forever. Oh, convert us, Lord. Give us open eyes, give us understanding hearts, and draw our souls to seek thee while it is yet called today. Oh, make this world a burden unto us, that we are without a hope and without God in this world, that we could not so live our life here below one day more, but that we may be brought in the dust of self-abasement before thee. Oh, convert us and our dear children, and then we shall be converted, and we shall be turned from our sin, and we shall draw nigh unto thee in truth, and make thy dear Son to be suitable and precious in our eyes. Oh, then thou dost give that we may read of him in thy word, and thou givest that we may also hear of his name in the reading, in the preaching, week by week. Thou knowest that he has no form or comeliness in our eyes by nature. Oh, thou canst make it so different. Lord, then it is necessary that we are losing our own righteousness. Oh, thou hast given that in the church also there may be a turning from that way of works unto the way of grace. And now so many years ago, when man had corrupted everything, but thou hast raised up those who may be given to see through all the error, and that may be given that grace and that wisdom and that strength and that courage to stand up against every vice, even within thy own church. Oh, thou hast given a reformation. Oh, that thou may look on us and our dear children, that these things may never be despised by us. For Satan does draw after all this world. But, Lord, wilt thou give that there may be hearts that may acknowledge thee, and that we may seek after that knowledge, and that thou hast given unto our forefathers, that we ourselves may be led in that way, and that it may become important unto us, and that we could not leave it all to sit by. Oh, when thou dost
say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. Oh, that thou may give, that there may be such that labor and are heavy laden in our midst also. Oh, bring us on our knees in our own secret chambers. Teach us of our own guilt and sin and pollution, the corruption of our hearts, our wretchedness and our misery, and give us to cry out of the depths, and that we may be delivered by thee, and that we may sing a new song. Lord, remember all thy children. Thou hast done it in thy church for the sake of the building up of thy church, for the extension of thy kingdom. Oh, could it please thee to give new ones to be born in Zion, and to give instruction also unto each and every one of thy people, for they may yet be here and there in the midst of us as a congregation, as a denomination. Wilt thou increase their number, and wilt thou comfort those that are distressed, and wilt thou lead those who are so ignorant? And wilt thou instruct those that do walk in error? And wilt thou uncover those who deceive themselves? And wilt thou comfort all thy own Zion? Remember us in thy mercy. So go with us this day, in this morning hour, in this afternoon hour, in the reading service. Lord, may thou give that the desire to be under thy word and may be felt in the midst of this our flock. Wilt thou look upon all thy truly sent servants, wherever that they may be, over the length and breadth of the whole world. And when it is thy Sabbath day, oh, give them freedom and liberty, and give thy blessing upon thy word. And wilt thou remember those who have become old, who have commemorated birthdays. Oh, thou knowest, Lord, where that they are. Oh, that thou may humble their hearts. But it is not easy to become old. Remember them in the climbing of their years. And could it please thee, oh, that thou may hasten to their help for the need of their souls, that thou may deliver them before that they have to stand before thee in judgment. And wilt thou keep us all together from taking our very life for granted, but that we might hasten for our life's sake. Be with us in this morning. Lord, help us in the bringing of thy word. Oh, give us a little freedom and a little liberty, but that it also may be understandable in the midst of this our flock, and that thou may thyself bring it in all our hearts together, forgiving all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 249, the first four stanzas, "Because thy trust is God alone, and thy refuge is the highest one. No evil shall upon thee come, nor plague approach thy guarded home." The last collection today is for the building fund, Psalter 249, stanzas 1 through 4. Thank you. Congregation, it is every year on the 31st of October that we may commemorate a Reformation Day, and in this year, this falls upon the Sabbath day. And the Reformation of the 16th century gives us a very great reason to acknowledge the Lord, that we with our children are not in this day sitting under the deception of the Roman Catholic Church. That is proof that the Lord is watching over His church, that He may defend His church, and that He may increase that church even unto the end of time. Last week, then we have considered something of that pillar, the pillar of the cloud and of fire that did go before the children of Israel in the wilderness. And then we have seen something of the reason why that the Lord has given this pillar of cloud and of fire. And then in a special way, because the Lord did lead His children thereby. And then all they had to do was follow. And when the Lord went forward, and then they went forward, and when the Lord stood still, then they did stand still. And then we have seen that cloud and pillar, and that was a representation of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And the Lord Jesus, He has more than one aspect wherein He is related unto His church. And thus, in this morning, we wish to consider this pillar of fire and of cloud once again. But it is not now in that aspect wherein Christ is leading His church, but it is that the Lord, He is protecting His church. Thus, that protection that did not begin in the days of the Reformation, that protection that did not begin in the days of the New Testament, no, that protection began already from the very, very beginning of His church, and it will continue unto the very, very end. And therefore, we wish to consider together the words of our text in this morning hour, which are from Exodus chapter 14, the 19th and the 20th verses. Exodus 14, verses 19 and 20. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between in the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. So far, the words of our text. The pillar of cloud and fire as a protection to Israel. First, the need for this protection. Second, the reality of this protection. The pillar of cloud and fire as a protection to Israel. First, the need. Second, the reality of this protection. Thus, in the first place, the need for this protection. And why did the children of Israel need to be protected? Children. You say, because the children of Israel had enemies. That is right. They had enemies. Who was that enemy? That was Pharaoh and all his host. They were the enemies of the children of Israel. But they are just a picture. For us, they are a picture of whom? They are a picture of Satan himself. And all those whom Satan is using in this world to fight against the true people of the Lord. By nature, the devil is not our enemy. No, by nature, we are his slaves. How is it with us? By nature, we are his willing slaves. We give no opposition. And then he gives us no opposition. But in regeneration, it becomes so different. Then Satan, he becomes our enemy. And now that through church, they also will experience Satan to be their enemy. You say they were delivered from him. The Lord, he has brought them out of that land of Egypt. That is so true. And yet we see that he is not yet dead. And that newborn church, they are also delivered. They are delivered from his dominion. And then that strong man armed, there is one stronger than he. He is bound and he is cast out. But that does not mean that he is dead and that the church will see him no more. No, the Lord warned the children of Israel. He warned them that Pharaoh was going to come, that he was going to follow after them. And so that remains also today. What did the Lord Jesus say to the Apostle Peter? He said to him, Satan hath desired to have you, and that he may sift you as the wheat. Thus, the church of God, they have an enemy, and then they cannot expect that enemy is just going to leave them alone in their life. Pharaoh, he sees that the children of Israel, they are fleeing. And what does he say? He says, they are entangled in the wilderness. He says they are lost. He says they do not know the way that they have to go. They are just a foolish people. They are a people, they are perplexed in their mind. Indeed, it is foolish. It is foolish according to all human judgment. The way, the direction, the road, the pathway that the children of Israel have now begun to follow, that is for all human understanding the most foolish way that they can go. And now so that is so often when the Lord will convert his people. Then what does the world say? The world says they are out of their mind. Old Bunyan, he writes about it. When Christian is converted, then his wife and his children, then they say, what is happening to him? What happens to our husband? What happens to our father? He does not know how to think anymore. Then he is not getting enough sleep. We must put him to bed. He is going out of his mind. We read in the Bible that a man's enemies, they are they of his own household. And sometimes that is not even meant to be so by those of their own household. But congregation, they do not understand what that work of the Lord is. And now when that people, they will begin to flee. When they will begin to flee that Ramses. When they will begin to flee out of that land of Egypt. Old and sometimes those who are the closest to them can be the greatest hindrance. And then they say, we will go after them
and we will bring them back again. Oh, trying to persuade them. And when persuasion doesn't work, then maybe they resort to threatening. And maybe even sometimes they resort to mocking them. Oh, try everything that we may be able to put these people straight in their mind again. Oh, Satan, he is not pleased to lose his subjects. But Israel has left that land of Egypt. And they have left that land of Egypt by the power and by the Spirit of the Lord. And they shall never be brought back into that land of Egypt, no. And though everything does come against them, the Lord Himself is going to fight. The Lord Himself is going to stand by His people. Thus, when that beginning is right in the life of a man, oh, when it is the Lord that is making the beginning, and when that can be the cause of so much turmoil in all our life, in everything and everyone sometimes that is about us, oh, when that beginning is right, then the end also will be right. But then we can expect that Satan is going to be in that way. To come after that people and to try to bring that people back again. Pharaoh repents. He repents that he has let these people go. Oh, the firstborn, there was a great cry in that land of Egypt. And Pharaoh and his men, they recover somewhat from this great panic. And they begin to consider what they have done. What are now the consequences of giving permission for the children of Israel to go? Why have we done this? That we have let Israel go from serving us? Or as if they had a choice. As if it was their own doing. As if they had not done everything in their power to prevent the children of Israel from leaving that land. As if they had not 10 times over received the judgments of the Lord against them. Or as if the Lord Himself had not rent the children of Israel out of their hand, as if that was now their own decision. Oh, who can fathom the hardness of the heart of man? And when the Lord, as we can read in His Word, He is letting Pharaoh and He is leaving the Egyptians over to themselves, to the hardness of their hearts, then we see there is a complete blindness. And then even the faculty of the reason of man, and that is not able to function in a right way anymore. And so we see Pharaoh, he pursues the children of Israel. His chariot is made ready, and he takes his warriors with him. And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. Thus, it is a very great army. He has chariot horses and he has riding horses and he has footmen, runners. Oh, an army that is in power so, so much greater than the children of Israel. These are men of war. But the Egyptians pursued after them. All the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pi-Hiroth before Baal-Zephon. And what does the Lord do? The Lord allows Pharaoh to come
very, very close to his people. We read, they overtook them encamping by the sea. That is, they came upon them. And they may come right up to them again. They are, as it were, in their very hands. We think about David and how that Saul, and that he may come by the permission of the Lord so, so very close to David, so that he and his men, they are completely surrounding David, and that humanly speaking, that there is no way for that true people of the Lord to escape anymore. And now there is fear. There is a great fear in the hearts of the children of Israel. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. Is that any wonder? Is that any wonder that they are now sore afraid, because are they any match for this great army and this host of Pharaoh and his men? Oh, God's children, they are no match for the devil. And all the legions that are with him. And therefore they do not mock. They do not mock, young people, with the devil. They do not mock with the strength of the devil. They do not mock with the devices, the deceit of the devil. No, because they must experience sometimes how very, very powerful that the devil is. No, there is often fear. And yet, the Lord, he allows sometimes Satan to come so very, very close to his people. And then there is fear. Oh, we read about the angels, and the angels, they are for the protection of God's people. And we read about those angels, they came, children, to the shepherds on the field of Bethlehem. And then they sang, and they brought the message of salvation. But what do we read about those shepherds? We read that those shepherds, they are sore afraid. We read about Zacharias, that the angel of the Lord, he came to him with a message, a glad tidings. But we read about the fear that lay in the heart of God's servant. Oh, and now how is it with the fallen angels? The fallen angels, and they have the intent, they have the desire that they may do just the opposite, that they may destroy that church of God. How then are they not often feared in the life of God's children? David, he said he would rather fall into the hands of the Lord than to fall in the hands of men. And why? Because the mercies of the Lord, they are so great, but the mercies of you and I are not so great. And how is that now with Satan? Oh, Satan knows no mercy. No, Solomon says the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. That is, if there is any mercy in them, or when there would be any mercy in Satan, oh, then it would be wickedly cruel. Bunyan describes how that Satan is seen, how that he is experienced by the true church, and he gives a little description about this Apollyon, and that Christian meets in the way. Hideous, he says, to behold, clothed with scales like a fish, and they are his pride. He had the wings like a dragon, the feet of a bear, and out of his belly came a fire and smoke,
and the mouth of a lion. Oh, that is the Apollyon that Christian had to meet on his journey. No, he is not dead, but he is coming out against the people of the Lord. And what is his intent? What is his desire? What is his purpose? Or what was the purpose of Pharaoh? That was to bring that people back. Oh, Pharaoh, he does not like it and that he has lost the Israelites. No, they were his servants, and they have built for him treasure cities. And so it is the desire that he may bring that people back again when they have left his service and entered into that service of the Lord. Oh, many times he will try to lure them back. Then he will try to show them what are the burdens now of walking on that narrow way. And what are now the delights of walking in that way of the world in which he gives persons to walk. Or he will try to bring them back. And when he is not able to bring them back, or then he will show something of the fury that does live in his heart. Because then he will take them back by power. And if he cannot get them back, oh, then he will even murder them. What do we read? The Lord Jesus, he will cure that lunatic son. Oh, he is possessed with the devil. And the devil does not want to leave him. But the Lord Jesus is more powerful than Satan, and he will cast him out. But what do we read? That spirit tear him. Oh, he would murder him so that the people, they even say that he is dead. Oh, Job, Satan would have to curse God to his face. And so he will do everything to bring Job back again into his own service, that the Lord, as it were, would disown Job. That Job may become his own again. And he will do everything to smite Job on every side. And if the Lord would not prevent, he would have slain Job too. But the Lord, he said, no, Satan. No, you may not touch his life. And so by every means, Satan is working to drive that church out of that straight and that narrow path that leads unto life. Why, congregation, was the Reformation necessary? Why was it even necessary? Because Satan was so busy. All to try to bring that truth of Christ to an end. All step by step. He would lead the church out of the right way, that they would turn again, as the apostle says, to the weak and to the beggarly elements. That he may bring that church, the true people of the Lord, that he may bring that church again into bondage. That he may bring them again to trust in a covenant that was broken. A covenant that can never save them. A covenant that can only lead them to despair. Oh, what will he do? Step by step. Oh, to take away that firm foundation wherein Christ, he has laid his church on. And as Satan will make that people to stand on a sandy foundation. A foundation that will not uphold that people. And that day of judgment, though they are trusting in that foundation. And in that last moment, Satan will laugh because he will say, "You are mine." Oh, what has he done? He has ripped away from that church Over those years, slowly, one after the other, all the true comforts that the Church of God may receive. That comfort in that free and full salvation to the chiefest of the sinners. And then see what happens when the Lord delivers his people from Satan. Oh, then the Lord raises up men. Oh, then the Lord is watching over his church. No, he is far from sleeping. Though for many years there are those that have sighed under that bondage of that prince of darkness. Oh, for many years then there was a remnant that was in that church that has besought the Lord. Oh, and when the Lord will deliver his church, when he will raise up men that may understand and that may strive for his truth and that may know the experience of that truth in their own heart, that may be gifted with gifts from above to stand against all the wiles of the devil. And when the Lord may do this, what is Satan ready to do? Then we see the anger. Then we see the fury of Satan that begins to come out. And then there is a great persecution. And Satan does not want to stop until he would have extinguished that entire remnant of the Lord. Is he finished? No. The Bible that says that there is coming another persecution. It says there is coming a great tribulation. It says that Satan, in the very end, that he is going to be loosed. And congregation, it cannot be so far away. No, we can see the beginnings of this already in our time with our children. What do we need? You say that we must try to stop it. Oh, we must make our voices known in government. Yes, but we shall not stop it. No, and this is coming. This is what we read in the Word of God. What do we need? We need to be born again. Oh, we need to come in our own secret chamber. We need to beseech the Lord that he will grant us, boys and girls, a new heart. Oh, that the Reformation, what the Lord has done there in the church, that may also be done in my own heart. And then, how will it be for us with Satan? Oh, the church, they are not a stranger of the inward strivings and terrors of the devil, to bring them back again from that way that the Lord is leading them in that life. We say he will lure them with this world. That is so. Do you know what he says, young people? He says, sin is no sin. Oh, he says, what your father and your mother, what your elders, what your minister says unto you, that is sinful. No. He says, look now at the world. Oh, they go in this way. Is that really now against that holy word of God? Oh, what does he do? He is tempting. He is tempting to make a man to fall. And then you know what he says? Now he says, your sin that is greater than that it can be forgiven. Oh, then he will minimize. He will minimize the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says that is not sufficient that he might make that people now to despair. Oh, anything, any way, any means, in only that he may have that people back again. What does he say? He says the Lord, he only looks upon those who are worthy. And you are not worthy. He says, you have sinned against light and better knowledge. There is no hope for you. Or he makes you to doubt, the rightness of that holy word of God. He says, hath God said, or he has not changed. It is the same today as he has ever done. And they were sore afraid. Oh, do not underestimate the powers of the devil. Because if Satan comes close to God's people, then he makes them to tremble. What an awful eternity. What an awful eternity it will be to spend congregation with this beast. His terrors, they are here so very weak in comparison to what they shall be in that awful eternity, because here he is restrained, but there he will not be restrained anymore. What do we read of Israel? When they see Pharaoh behind them, then we read, they cried unto the Lord. The Lord willing, next week, we hope to consider what that cry was. But when that devil approaches, oh, there is one thing. There is one thing that is felt by the people of the Lord, and that is the necessity of the presence of the Lord. Oh, Lord, I need thy presence. How long wilt thou delay? All there is for them then but one comfort. Is the Lord ignorant of the needs of his church? Oh, he knows the needs of his church much better than they know those needs themselves. What does he say? Before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Was that the same in the days of the Reformation? When did it begin? Did it begin with Luther? Did it begin with Calvin? No. No. No, there were also forerunners to that Reformation. Oh, then the Lord, he has prepared. The Lord, he has paved the way for that moment. No, the Lord is not ignorant of the needs of his church. But with that temptation, he will also make a way that they are able to escape. Let us sing. 224, 1 through 4. O God, no longer hold thy peace, no longer silent be. Thy enemies lift up their head to fight thy saints and thee. 1 through 4 of 224.
our second thought, the reality of this protection and the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. All the Lord knew that Israel could not protect themselves. The Lord also knew all their fears. And then the Lord comes to the aid of his people. And what did the psalmist say? God is our refuge and strength, our ever-present help in trouble. And we can read in many places, not only of devils, no, but we read in God's word also of the angels of the Lord. And the angels of the Lord, how that they are sent for the protection of his people. Herod, he killed James, and he sends to take Peter. But, oh, the Lord, he sends his angel. How close that Satan may come unto Daniel, boys and girls. How close. So that Daniel is actually put into that very den of lions, where is now the help of man? Oh, there is no help from man. And what does the Lord do? And the Lord sends his angel to shut those lions' mouths. Oh, can that people, can they always see that protection? Elisha, he is in Dothan. The king of Syria comes. And there is a great army. That servant, he is afraid. He says, alas, master, what shall we do? Oh, God's servant, he says, you don't have to be afraid. Because there's more with us than there are with them. But he cannot see it. And then he says, Lord, wilt thou open his eyes? And then he may see that there are a host of chariots of fire, all standing round about to protect the servant of the Lord. Oh, David, he says, the angel of the Lord, he encampeth round about those who fear him, and the angel of the Lord delivereth them. What do you think? Does that happen still today? Oh, you have read, each of you, that story once of that servant of the Lord. Men, they are laying in wait to kill him. Laying in wait by that bridge. And when he comes, there is another one along. They had not expected this. Was there another one along? Oh, he did not see. He did not know that there was one that was standing beside him. Oh, does that happen yet today? We do not believe in guardian angels, but that is a guardian angel. That means there are those, they believe that that every one of God's children, they are given their own angel to watch over them. But we cannot find it in the Word of God. But we can surely read in the Word of God how that the angels are sent for the protection of his people. The chariots of God, they are 20,000. We read even thousands of angels. And the Lord protects his people. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. And they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. That is not only Christ himself, but that is also his church. But here, now we do not read about angels, but what do we read about? You remember, boys and girls? It is the pillar of cloud and of fire. And what is it a representation of? It is a representation of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the angel of God. that is the supreme protector of his church. And he appears for that church. What do we read? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the king, he saw a fourth. And the fourth is like unto the Son of God. Oh, the sun shall not smite them by day, and the moon shall not smite them by night, not without the will of the Lord. And when Stephen was stoned, then the Lord Jesus Christ himself was standing ready to receive him unto himself. What do we read? And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. All that church, they can do nothing for themselves. They can do nothing against all the onslaughts of the devil. They will be overcome. Sin pursues them. Satan pursues them to bring them back under his dominion. Or are there also those that fear? But now, when the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he is coming to stand in between, then those people are safe. Then that enemy cannot touch them. They can shoot their arrows. Oh, there is a church. There is a church. They are sitting congregation under the shadow of his throne. And there his saints do dwell secure. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And that cloud that has now two sides, that has a dark side, and that has a light side. It is one side that is to the wicked, and there is another side that is to the righteous, to God's people. And God separates the light from the darkness. We read it already in Genesis 1. And we read that God himself, he says, I form the light, and I create the darkness. And now, it is by that same suffering and death by which the Lord saves his people that the Lord has destroyed the enemy. Same suffering and death by which he has saved his people, and at the same time bruised the head, taken away the power of Satan. It is all the same. It is one work to destroy the enemy and to save his church. And it was a cloud and darkness to them. Thus it causes them to lose sight of their prey, that they cannot come one step closer than the Lord allows them to come. The Lord envelops them in darkness, even as those that would destroy Lot are not able to find the door. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these. That is a great wonder. A light to dissipate their darkness. And who is that light? Oh, the Lord Jesus, he says, I am the light of the world. He says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Oh, what greater protection can we have against all the attacks of the devil than the light of Christ? It is one thing to be safe, and then it is another thing to be comforted. And what does the Lord do with that pillar of cloud and of fire? He does both at the same time. With that cloud, then he makes a separation so that enemy cannot touch them. And then the people are safe. Thus, the blood of Christ that is standing between that is paying a price for the safety of the church of God, then there are no more attacks of Satan. But now at the same time, it is a light. And that light that is now for the comfort of the true people of the Lord. So that there is no accusation that is able to come against the true church of God in the way of free and sovereign grace that cannot be answered. That is the answer to all of Rome. All of Rome. Free and sovereign grace. Thus, does the devil tell you that your sin is too great to be forgiven? What does the Lord say? The Lord says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as snow. Oh, does the Lord look on only those who are worthy, says the devil? He does not look upon you. What does Paul say? He says, in due time, Christ died for whom? For the ungodly. Oh, does the devil make you fear that it is impossible because you have fallen again into that way of sin? What did the Lord say to David? He said, the Lord hath also put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Does the devil say you have sinned against light and knowledge? Oh, the Lord looked upon Peter, and he made him to weep bitterly. And he even said unto him, feed my sheep. Oh, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. There is now the cloud, congregation. There is now the cloud that is standing between God's people and the devil. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. And what can the devil say? And what can the devil do? That is a wall of fire. It is a wall of fire that is standing round about for the salvation, for the protection, and for the comfort, for the light of the true people of God. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, so that the one came not near the other all night. Oh, his salvation that is walls and bulwarks. Satan cannot touch them. Sin is not able to condemn them. When that cloud and fire, that pillar, that foundation that is now standing in between. A man can kill the body, but cannot touch the soul. You know what the devil had to say? He had to say about Job, oh, the Lord, he has put a hedge about Job. A hedge about him all the way that I can't touch him. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That is now that hedge. That is that hedge. And nothing that the devil can do or say is able to take away that protection, that salvation that the Lord is granting by free and sovereign grace unto his people. No, the Lord preserved his church. That is a wonder that you and I are not in this day now left over. But it is now different. Or will we seek our safety in that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that is now separating? It is making the separation between the precious and the vile. That is an eternal separation. And that is fixing, congregation, a great gulf On the one side, eternal darkness. And on the other side, an eternal light. On the one side, the devil and his angels. On the other side, the Lord and his church. A great division. A great division. And it is not a division by the works of man, no. It is the division of free and sovereign grace. And that is why there is hope. That is why there is hope for you and for me. Amen. O Lord, grant us that we may be partakers of that hope. Oh, what a wall of fire and cloud that thou dost put around thy people to protect them from all Satan's devices. And there they are so safe. Oh, then there is nothing that can touch a people who are washed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Oh, they are able to stand in the judgment without a pang of conscience, without any fear, and all their guilt is covered o'er. Oh, look on each and every one of us, and that we may be partakers thereof. Oh, give us to seek it, Lord. Put away the devices of the devil, and draw us with all our loved ones. Wilt thou be with us further in this day, bring us safely to our homes. Oh, give us faithfulness. And give us a desire in our hearts to come up in the afternoon hour. Help him that will lead. Help us where we go. Forgive our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 88:1-3. The Lord I will at all times bless. In praise my mouth employ, my soul shall in Jehovah boast, the meek shall hear with joy. All stanzas of Psalter 88. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.